It's Tuesday night, and just like I said, we're live, and I don't want any applause because I don't want to stop talking. I got a piece of tobacco in my mouth. Cure. As I was watching the half hour preceding, and watching the volunteers and staff assemble that truck, the major job that's involved in driving it down every Saturday night, taking all the elements out of the truck and setting up, I wonder if those of you that see that and know you participated, and the faithful ones that are there every Saturday night, and then the same job in reverse on Sunday afternoon after the service, and the truck is driven back to King's House One. I wonder if you listen to the service, listen to the message as God helps me put it together. I come with the basic research and the basic elements, but the Holy Spirit has to put it together in the time that I have to mix it. I wonder if you sit there and it ever really sinks in. I'm helping make this possible. Whatever God does through this service and this message, I get equal rewards with Pastor. Like David said, those that stay with the stuff get the same reward as those on the front line. I wonder if you really think that. And if what I preached last Sunday, you can whisper a praise to the Lord as you do the work. Nothing else you do that is as much a part of what Christ died for as putting yourself into propelling this message out to the world. Sit down. I'm talking. You came late, the fine's $1,000. That means I'm one more toward the 300,000. He may not eat the rest of the week, but I'm that much closer to home. Make his girlfriend pay it. Don't care what he does. Just get the $1,000. You're late. Only God knows whether I'm serious or not. I like it that way. You know, it's terrible if you get into such a rut that you forget why you're doing it. I preached on the cross many times. The spiritual meaning of the cross is that Jesus did what only He could do for God's redemptive plan to be accomplished. You know, my dad had to live down. I had to get in a fight every day I went to school. In the little town of Gridley, where Dad was voted in by 11 members and built the church up till it was the largest church in town. But when we first went there, I was 11 years old. A previous pastor had had his relatives nail him to an olive tree to imitate the sufferings of Christ. You could nail him to 15 olive trees if you survived, and it wouldn't save a jackrabbit. Only Christ could do what he did at Calvary. I couldn't save anybody, and God doesn't want me to bear his cross. He bore his cross for you and me and for his Father. He told us to bear ours. I could spend hours tonight talking of the common denominators of the cross. It involves self-denial to the will of God. But the essential meaning of the cross, it involves you in making a contribution to God's redemptive plan that no one else can do. You're not to be duplicated. That's the whole teaching of the body of Christ. If we're all an eye, where were the hearing? If we're all an ear, where were the smelling? And there's a lot of talk about the general body of Christ. In any locale and in any functional ministry, God puts a band of people together to follow the Domata. If he's totally sold out to God, he does what only he can do. There ain't anybody else doing what I'm doing. Nobody else has been brought to the kingdom with the background, the tools, the uniqueness of a free voice worldwide, no restraints on digging out of God's book the truth without fear or favor. Preaching to myself as much as to you, only one purpose, to take the message that God, through Paul, saved, and what Jesus came to do would have been aborted if God hadn't reached out and lifted Paul up. And I can give you the history of the church. It's moved forward every time someone pierced the legalistic boundaries and restored Paul's message to the church. Grace and faith, not works. Not my works. Now, unless God has called you to get out there and find a locale and build a body of Christ in that area doing what God's called you to do, you don't have a choice. You have to find the Domata you can follow and become like Aaron and Hur. Become a part of the whole, but only Moses' arms up in the air would save the day at Rephidim. Not enough to go down there and develop friendships and feel good about yourself because you're putting in some hours. You're making possible this unique message. Go around the world 24/7. Every time you hear one of these Roman messages, we're approaching 300. Not even counting the years of teaching on other subjects. You're making it possible. You're making it possible for me to function. I look around, I see so often the same faces here as voices of faith. We're in a marathon now. I haven't had one in a long time. An experience a lot of you new people in the church have never even been a part of. Hand-to-hand combat with the spiritual forces of the devil to try to keep us from achieving a victory goal this week. Something we used to do quite regularly. Marshal 300 people that would get $1,000 in 1 week. No gimmicks. No name under a torch. No steel and glass and things you can look at and say, I did that. No, the intangible identity with the power of God's Word to invade the air where the prince of the power of the air is ducking the blows. Where we take him on in a faith battle and win it. You should go down there Saturday night. You should come here as a voice of faith. You should march around doing security. I'm part of a great work that the Lord is doing through us, but through me. I'm a cell in this body. I'm a finger, a hand. I declared war on the devil last night and caught him by surprise. Believe you me, I met him early this morning. He didn't sleep last night. My wife had to leave this place today under stress and call me as she went out to get some fresh drink from the Lord to carry on through the day to get ready for tonight. While people that have made commitments to be one of the 300, or people who came here and failed because they wouldn't keep their dedication, being allowed still to participate with a 12-hour commitment, call up and whine and make some sad sack excuse. They can't keep their commitment. You can't not keep your commitment. What's the matter with you? Your commitment is to the Lord who kept his commitment to death, which is the only reason you have any hope. The old-fashioned message. We have treasures in heaven. I'm a pastor that said ever since I've been here, I don't want 100% of your money and I don't want 100% of your time unless you feel called of God to come in here and give your life. Everything you do is the Lord's work. Your business, your home, your family, your family's involvements. But God has to be first and not talk first. God's first as long as he takes care of me and mine. No, you put his work first. And he looks out for you and yours. That's how this church was built. And a lot of you who helped build it have come up with some retirement idea. Somehow it goes over your shoulder to somebody else when I say the more mature the saint, the greater the test. Pressure never killed anybody if it drives you to God. But if it separates you from God, it'll destroy you. Now, we're in the second night of a marathon, and I intend to have 300 people give $1,000 by Sunday. Don't care if it's an old commitment that you're working on. Speed it up. If it's a new commitment, start it with $1,000 tonight. Your tithe is included in this 300 I'm searching for. Secret 16 is above the tithe. But if it's a secret 16 commitment, old or new, I want $1,000 from 300 people by Sunday. And every single member of this congregation, I want an extra sacrifice from you if you can't give the 300. Well, how dare you ask for that? How dare you even ask why I'm asking? I'm the shepherd of this flock. I know when you need to be challenged. You haven't been challenged in a long time. You're rocking along. I mean, it sure is true. God says you have not because you ask not, but it's a lot more true about you people. Well, everything must be all right. He's not... Look around, folks. Look at the empty seats last Sunday. Look at the effort to get the reservations when I've dropped the quota by almost 200. The monthly giving has dropped off 50%, and we're still doing the same and more. It's time for you to wake up. I don't do this. Unless we're at a point, if I don't seize the moment and by faith go on attack and stop the slide and turn you around and get you back to sacrifice, the devil's going to win. That's what this is about. We and you, all of you as individuals and all of us together, we need to win this battle. I know it's hard. You think the widow had second thoughts And she only had one meal for her and her boy, and the preacher says, give me the first meal. Well, if God will guarantee me the pot will keep flowing, I'll do it. No, you take what you've got and you give it. I mean, I've studied that chapter. I mean, I could see the L.A. Times talking about this preacher that came to this widow that had only one meal and made her feed him first. God's ways are not our ways. He's still your supply. He still responds when you do the sacrificial act of faith. Where have you been the last 29 years? Nothing that's new that I'm saying. This is how this church was built. Now, if there's ever been a pot that keeps flowing, I don't know how we keep doing what we're doing when we've dropped down rather than gone up. It's not as though we've increased in the giving and increased in the members and increased in the numbers who come and increased in those who participate. The king's houses have dropped participating. And we're doing more. It's time for you to say, I'm getting back on board. Or I'm putting both shoulders to the wheel. I want 300 people giving $1,000 by Sunday. I'm tired of looking at 146 instead of 700. We can't even bring Secret 16. Those who give 3,000 by Christmas can't even bring it up to 200. Four more will bring it to 150. At least I can move it. No, that's the 10,000. Four more will let me move the 300 who are giving 10,000 up to 150, and we're halfway there. Twenty-two more, and I can at least go to 200 for those that are giving 3,000 by Christmas. It's ridiculous. We used to have 700 people give 10,000. At least make the pledge. The double portion month was exactly 50% of what it's been for the last many years. I mean, go shoot George Bush, but don't shoot yourself in the foot. Don't talk to me about economy. God is still the supply. And when you're in trouble, that's when you better increase your giving. The laws of the Spirit are what I came here to teach you. Now, I want 300 people giving 1,000 by Sunday, and I want you on the phone the minute we go to music, and I want every single one of you, including those of you who gave last night, to keep faith on these phones. I don't want to have to beat on you to have this place come alive with faith on the phone. Now, get on the telephone. I'm trying to train a guy to go so he doesn't have to go in front of cameras. And they caught me when the song was ending. That's the way you run back and forth. Now, if you're in a mood to be obedient at home, I don't mean for you to suddenly, because I pointed, start running back and forth in your living room. Just go to the phone and make your pledge. I'm talking to the guys in here. Get on the phone! I want you to keep calling. I'll talk when you stop calling, and then I'm going to talk harshly to you. I've said enough. You know what we're here for. You're not here to be entertained. You're not home to be entertained. The people that care about this ministry are going to get on the phone and help us win this battle right now. Okay, you were doing pretty good, but you're slacking off a little. I still am looking at 146 of the 300 that are giving 10,000 by Christmas when I know there are four more people listening to me tonight that could join that band of giving 10,000 by Christmas. And you could give at least 1,000 of it this week. And I'm looking at the same number that we can't get of the 700 giving 3,000, can't get 200 before this night is over when I'm already at 178 and need only 22 more. Get in that band and give the first 1,000 this week. But I need 300 giving 1,000 by Sunday. Whatever, tithe, offerings, pledges, commitment, secret 16, whatever, advance payment on the tabernacle offerings coming up. I want 300 people given 1,000 by Sunday. Now get on the phone. Now we're working on the second 100 going toward 300. And we can make that second 100 tonight if you'll stay on the phone. This is a faith battle. Now get on the telephone. I don't know how you can stay home. This is where the action is. I love these people. They're in here fighting with me. How do I get you off your butt at home? I mean, the Olympic Games are going on. I never saw such stupidity as that high bar competition last night. I went home from festival and turned that on and thought, you know, this is artificial competition. Here's where the real competition is. Yes, taking on the devil. Hand-to-hand combat. Yes, sir. I said earlier, those people that were setting up down at the cathedral, you realize you're keeping these phones busy tonight, you're going to be part of this victory? You say, you may fight me in my own individual battles, but we just beat the crap out of you as a group. And get on the phone. We're beating the crap out of the devil. You may have a little difficulty one-on-one with him, and he may have been beating you up a little bit at home. Well, then why don't you get in here and just really lay it on him? One can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. I don't care if you stagger in here. He may have whipped you all day, but get in here, we'll whip him tonight. All right, you're slowing down. I don't like that. I want every phone to stay busy. You may say, why are you doing this? We need to win a victory with the devil. He's had us on the defensive too long, battling sickness for months, sickness throughout the congregation, struggling to get the reservations. I still need 150 to reach our quota for Sunday. Can't move up in secret 16. This church needs a victory over the devil. He's got you in some kind of clutch. There's a point where you just start striking out. We need to do this. Yes, and every single one of you needs to sacrifice. And there are plenty of you watching that haven't sacrificed in quite a while. Don't talk to me about tithe. You don't own the tithe. There's no giving to God at all when you're tithing. You're just giving him what's his. You're a thief and a robber if you don't. I'm calling for sacrifice. Now get on the telephone. Sacrifice of effort, sacrifice of money. Get on the telephone. Now I want you to keep answering phones, and those that are calling, to keep calling. But I'm talking to somebody, in fact, several somebodies, that are part of our congregation. You don't have to take the phone down. I'll tell you to take the phone number down. Put the phone number up and leave it up. Do you want me to believe that 30 years of preaching to this congregation, scattered across the world, and particularly United States and Canada, there are not four people in this congregation? I mean, our goal was 300 that would give 10,000 by Christmas. This started years ago at Hope Street when I was smitten with conviction that 700 people joyously and hilariously, one night after 11 o'clock, it burst forth like a waterfall after 11 o'clock at night. And 700 people committed themselves to give 10,000 by Christmas. Some of them got double jobs. They did it. But I was smitten with conviction because you did it, because you knew we were going to purchase Hope Street.
And I came public and said, the rest of my ministry. Every year I would come back and see if we could ever have in this congregation 700 who would make that kind of sacrifice only out of worshipful statement to God of what His Word has meant to you. We've never attained that goal since. And the devil's been slowly squeezing us down until this year I can't even get 300 to do it. Now, do you want me to believe that in this congregation, when I've asked us to go to the halfway mark, four more to bring us to 150, and now we're within 4 months of Christmas, and that four people are not watching me, that care enough about God's Word to make that statement to God and to this pastor? I'll find a way in faith to give 10,000 by Christmas. You're going to tell me that there are not 22 people watching me right now that have the faith and the response to what Christ has done for you and His Word to commit yourself in faith in the next 4 months to give $3,000 by Christmas? No, I don't believe everybody in the congregation can do that. But do you want me to believe that there are not 22 that can bring it up at least to 200? Four people giving 10,000 by Christmas, 22 people giving 3,000 by Christmas, that in another month and a half, 30 years of teaching God's Word, saving your life, providing a cradle of truth and light for your family, and you can't dare to believe God for $3,000 by Christmas, or some of you that have the $10,000 in the bank and you won't give it to God. You really want to discourage this pastor, don't you? My timing is impeccable. Coming to a station break time when the shortwave radios will interrupt with their announcements. I don't believe there are not 22 watching. What is faith to you? Faith is what I see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Your faith action substantiates and pragmatizes what isn't seen. You make a commitment, I'll do it if it kills me. And that 300 of you in this congregation across the world, the first time I really believe this year, maybe a few years, I draw this line and see if there's enough strength of faith and sacrifice in this congregation that we can actually get 300 people, whatever it takes, to commit to $1,000 by Sunday. Still got 4 or 5 days. Any one of you could face an emergency that called for $1,000 and you'd get it. And you think you're forsaking self for God? I don't play games with you. I don't get up and preach these messages just to have a message. It's commitment time, folks. And God's looking on. I need four people committing to 10,000 by Christmas and 22 committing to 3,000 by Christmas, and pay 1,000 of it this week, and the rest of you committing to sacrifice before Sunday, and 300 of you giving 1,000. Now, not complicated, it's decision time. And really, it's now or never. Because it ain't ever going to get any easier to say what God's done for me and pastor's calling for this kind of response, I'm getting on board. Now get on the telephone. Might I believe that there are not four people with the faith to believe you and God can give 10,000 by Christmas and 1,000 of it this week? And there are not 22 people that can believe God that can manage to give 3,000 by Christmas, the first 1,000 this week. The rest of you keep doing what you're doing. When I focus on something, some of you breathe a sigh, oh, now he's talking to them and I'm not one of them. Every one of you be sacrificing and staying on the phone. Get busy. Well, I only need 18 now. 18 more to give 3,000 by Christmas. I'm up to 182. There are 18 more that can take that challenge, and four more can give 10,000 by Christmas. But front and center is 300 giving 1,000 by Sunday. Now get on the phone. Well, I'm still finding it difficult to believe that four people do not have the faith to believe God for 10,000 by Christmas. So just stay on the phone with me, folks, until God shakes somebody up. Because if you're the one he's picked, he'll get it out of you one way or the other. If you don't give it to him, he'll find a way to take it from you. You've become a logjam. Some people that can afford to give 10,000 have become a logjam. I feel like Nehemiah that had to deal with the nobles. Other people are sacrificing. It's the nobles that are holding us back in this congregation right now. People that usually step forward, that can afford to give the 10,000, can afford to do it, and are not willing to push themselves beyond what they can afford. That's sacrifice. Now get on the phone. The people that are in here can feel it. But we are at a real spiritual conflict point. I just said to the staff that hears me behind the scenes, there's a real dead spirit in here. The minute I drew this line, it's like everything stopped. I've been sitting here the whole time, an hour and 20 minutes. Not one reservation has come in for the cathedral on Sunday. And we're 200 short. And when I drew that line of the four that can give 10,000, it's as though the whole room froze. Now we're at a point where we will break the spiritual barrier. And those that have been here for years know we break the spiritual barrier when somebody takes that first step of sacrifice. Too many onlookers tonight, not enough participants. Well, there are calls coming in. Most of the calls are coming from the people that have already made their commitment. There are thousands of you that enjoy the benefit of 24-hour programming, and you haven't sacrificed in a long time. Now, we'll either break it through in the next few minutes, or we're going to lose this battle. And I find that intolerable. I'll stay here if I have to stay here alone. But you're letting the devil take the initiative from us because you are not facing the sacrifice God wants you to make right now. Now get on the telephone and let's break through this barrier. Stop calling. Don't stop calling. You don't need any music. Somebody's going to break this barrier. Somebody's going to give 10,000 by Christmas and break this logjam and at least 1,000 of it this week. Some of you know you haven't made your reservation for Sunday because you plan not to be here. We'll change your plans. We're close, folks. Just obey the prompting in your spirit and trust God and do it. I will not let the devil have this victory. Neither will you. I believe in the quality of people that my teaching has produced. And tonight you're going to demonstrate it. All right, I got 151. One more than the four needed. But guess what? Guess what? We're at 196. But now we still need four, giving 1,000 by Sunday to be at the 200 mark. Now go to music and let's get those four that will give 1,000 by Sunday. And then we'll be at 200. I have 151. Move that up there while the song starts. Move that 300... Move that up to 150. The 300 given 10,000. Move it up to 150. We're halfway there. We're halfway there. Better go help him. He's going to pull the whole thermometer down. Go to music. I need four more given 1,000 by Sunday. Now, it's Tuesday night, and we're live, and we have 211 toward 300. That means we've got only 89 to go. We could do that tonight. But we certainly are going to move toward the 300. Now we, you know, the devil's sitting there scratching his head saying, what happened? I had him down and somehow or other they got up. I'll slap him down now. Come on, get on the phone. Now in the next half hour I'm going to take it to the table of the Lord, but we're at 212. That means we got 88 to go. We'll be at the 300. Just don't let the devil make us drag this out the whole week. Now, come on, get on the telephone. Now, well, I'm not out of here. And you better not be out of here. You got three more minutes to the next half hour, and then we're going to go to the table of the Lord. So fill this room with faith. Stay on the phone until I tell you to stop. Now, come on, get on the telephone. I'm at 213. I got 87 to go. All right, you can finish your calls and take your seat. We're at 213. And I'm at 153 of those giving 10,000 by Christmas. The other night I took you to Hebrews chapter 4, in a previous communion. And I'm concerned about the sickness in the congregation. It's as though on every front the devil is saying, I will show you that the truth of God's word is not working. I took you to the fourth chapter of Hebrews. 14th verse, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. That's why we have hilasterion, bold letters in Greek written beside the entrance to the chapel, with a stained glass window that shows the resurrected Christ. Not a Christ on the cross, resurrected Christ. His job was not finished at Calvary. He had to carry his blood to the throne, where witness was borne that the payment was adequate and complete. And as Hebrews 1 says, he sat down, having by himself obtained our redemption. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And I've told you many times, that word is the proclamation of faith. So hold fast to our proclamation, that the heart man believeth with the mouth, proclamation is made. For each Sunday, let us always pray, the word being a wishing forward, refusing to look back, refusing to take what you see as the final word, but wishing forward to God and putting it in words. So let's hold fast to our proclamation. I proclaim this truth for 29 years here. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And I ask the question, read the Gospels from cover to cover. Where is there any record of him being sick and infirm? Never happened. Until, as Isaiah 53 says, he was made to be acquainted with sickness. The Lord laid on him our infirmities. And thus was in all points tempted like as we are. Not until the Lord laid sickness on him on the cross did he know it. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Parousios. And I said that's a word out of ancient Greece, a special privilege granted only to the citizens of the polis. No one else had it. Free speech. They could say whatever they wanted. They were special. We are special. And the word at its root means open and honest candor, like between family members or close friends. You don't have to. There's an awe of God that is necessary, that is respect. You ought to have that for your family members. But there's a lot of teaching about prayer that is a little too tiptoey. We come boldly, open and honest before God. I'm going to take off on that and go to Exodus 32, because I've been talking about Moses being honest with God. Could just as easily go to Jehoshaphat. Could just as easily go to Habakkuk. I'm going to Moses in Exodus 32. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down. This is where the people were worshiping the golden calf at the base of the mountain. The Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down. For thy people, and I don't know what you have done upstairs to my sound, but take some of the bass out of it. The Lord said unto Moses, that's better. Go get thee down, for thy people, And God talking to Moses. It was real honest communication, precious. The Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt. Huh? Have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them. And I'll make of thee a great nation. Boy, that was a sweet deal. Sweet deal. Just get out of the way, Moses. I'm going to wipe this stiff-necked bunch of rebels out. And I'll start over with you. I'll make of you a great nation. Not a sweet deal. Oh, boy, get the job done and let's get started, God. But Moses cared more about God's word than he did himself. And Moses besought the Lord. He's more than besought. He got very direct with him, the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people? In case you've forgotten, I heard what you said, that my people that I brought out, thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Do you realize, God, what you have said? You sent me. I'm going to put in between, because God knew what he had said. You're the one that told me to go tell them you're going to bring them from Egypt into the land of the Jebusites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and they don't dwell here by Sinai. You're the one that sent me to them when I didn't want to go. Well, I've been reading this chapter, and then Moses got away with it, so listen to me, God. You haven't even offered me the sweet deal you gave Moses. Your word's at stake. You're the one that said to Abraham, when he asked you how he could believe the promises you gave him, you're the one that said to Abraham, something impossible to have happened statistically, something that you have thus far kept your word on. You'd send him down to a strange land, they'd become slaves, the fourth generation, you'd bring them out richer than when they went in, and you would bring them right back to the place where you told Abraham that this would be the proof that you'd keep your word to him. You gave your word to Isaac, and you gave your word to Jacob. And now you're going to renege on it, and you gave your word to the Egyptians. What are you doing, showing off? You told me to tell Pharaoh and tell these people, tell Pharaoh let them go because you're taking them back to Palestine, not Sinai in the desert to kill them. I agree. They're a bunch of rats, but let's get it straight to your people, not mine. And yeah, they ought to be killed. And I'll kill my share of them when I get down to the bottom of the hill. This is blunt talk to God. You say, oh, you're ad-libbing. Well, you want me to go to Numbers 14? I can keep adding to it. You gave your word. The issue is not, really, it's not whether they're my people or your people. You're the one that said you'd do this, and if you wipe them out, the Egyptians will mock you for deceit and mischief. You brought them out to slay them in the mountain and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn around, God. Back off, God. Well, let me go to the 32nd verse. If thou wilt forgive their sin, do it now. But if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. I don't want you to replace them with me and make me the great nation. If you're not going to keep your word, blot me out. That gave him standing with God. Like Elijah, he cared more about God's word than he did himself. The issue was not between Moses and God. The issue was God's faithfulness to his own word. That was more important to the audience in eternity and to the plan of God through the ages of time. To the whole purpose of God for man, to get him to trust him. Wipe these people out, and you've made a liar out of yourself. I'll kill a few of them when I get down there. I'll take their golden calf and give them a case of diarrhea with gold dust as I make soup out of it and make them eat it. But don't wipe them out. It makes a liar out of you. God didn't kill Moses. When Moses offered himself, God said, he that sinneth, I'll kill. Now, what I'm trying to say to you folks, get up off of your ass and stand up to God, not for your benefit. I've said it repeatedly over the last year and these many months, and as I've faced over the last 4 years, the death sentence that I've defied in faith. Don't make me preach your word, God, and not keep it. The issue's not between me and you. The issue is not your right to kill me by any method you want, except one method makes a liar out of you, breaks your covenant with your son, and makes you no longer a faithful God. I am coming boldly before you to say, if you don't keep your word to your son, and if you want to make a mockery of this table of the Lord that the Lord told us to go to and remember him, now maybe like Moses, God, and I'm asking you to do the same tonight, maybe like Moses, we need to say, God, have you forgotten the contract you made with your son? You laid my sickness on him and you laid my sins. Now, there are two things you cannot say no to without being a liar. Go ahead and be a liar if you want to. Blot me out of your book. But you cannot say no when I take this bread and claim the promise, with his stripes I was healed. You can't say no when I claim the promise. Not only he picked up and bore my iniquities and transgressions, he picked up my sicknesses and he picked up my pains and carried them away. This is a one-on-one confrontation with God, boldly coming to the throne and claiming what the testator obtained for me when he died, and he's sitting there at your right hand. Maybe God's waiting for you and me to say, I know what you said, God. I'm not asking you to spare me any tribulations. I'm not asking you to make my life a path of ease. I'm not asking you to remove the battle. I'm not asking you to take me off the battlefield. But don't keep me sick. Don't keep me full of guilt. I'm not a Jew that has to wait till the judgment day to know whether or not I've been redeemed. Now, through faith in your blood, my sins have been lifted. Now, through faith in him lifting my sicknesses and my pains, I step out from underneath the sickness. Or you're a liar, God, and I will keep saying it to your face. Blot me out. Your word's at stake over a piddling little sickness on one of your dumb sheep. Try us and test us any other way. This option you took away from yourself. And I'm telling you that. What did Moses do when he said, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self"? He swore by his own self in his son. My sicknesses and pains were lifted and carried away. My sins were lifted and carried away. God didn't blot Moses out. 14th verse. The Lord repented of the evil he thought to do unto his people. I'm telling God he better repent of the evil he's even thought about doing, of leaving sickness on us and sin on us when we lift this bread and take this cup. The issue is God's contract with his son. He made it, he meant it, and maybe he's waiting for you and me to say, "Lord, do it or you're a liar." Oh, I trembled at the thought of saying that. Well, then get the guts of Moses. His words at stake. "I will not have it." And out of some sick idea of humility, allow sickness to stay uncontested as I take this bread and claim the promise, "With his stripes I was healed." And by his blood I am made clean and worthy. And thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Before any more calls start, I was not here a year before I said to a preacher who was trying to get me to leave here and return to Ministers' Institutes and the ministry I had left to come here. I said, "I'll die for this congregation. I still will. I am angry with the sickness in this congregation." Well, I've sat where you sat. I know the panic and the pain and the horror and the condition that I had. I know the sickness of the last 4 months. Nothing can bring you to fainting, giving up, helplessness, like debilitating sickness. And there are lots of you watching me. You've been beat down by the sickness. You can't seemingly find faith. I want you to get aggressive. I'm getting aggressive for you. Went back there and said, "God, blot me out if you have to." But you said faith of a mustard seed. honor the faith of these people. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be sick. It doesn't have to keep on being the way it's been for some of you. Now get on the phones tonight and declare your faith. Get on the phone and be like the man in that famous movie. I've had it and I'm not going to take it anymore. Come to the throne of God boldly. I beg God to show me a way he can sneak out. There isn't any. If he didn't lift your sicknesses, he didn't lift your sins. If he can leave the sicknesses on you, he can deny you forgiveness for your sins. The issue is not between you and God, it's between God and his Son. And either Hebrews 1 is correct or it isn't. He sat down, it's finished, he doesn't have to do it again. And God is not a just God to leave on you what he has already judged his Son for. I think he's waiting for some of us to get in his face just like Moses. So start doing it.
Yes, sir.
At the same time, we got 25 more minutes to stick it in the face of the devil as we move toward this 300,000. I want victory to come back to this congregation. I'm tired of being on the defensive. We've been there ever since Hope Street. I'm tired of it. Now get on the telephone. Yeah, well, you know, rewrite that song. God, you can do anything. But leaving me sick is getting on my suede shoes, and that's making me pretty PO'd at God. Talk to God that way. Yeah. Some of you mincy step Christians, I don't even want to see you in heaven. God admired Moses. God admired Jehoshaphat. Claim from God, including you put him first, he'll look out for you. So start putting him first. I want to see this move up from 213. 300 people must give $1,000 by Sunday, and we got only 23 more minutes lifetime, so get on the telephone. Now, there's only 20 minutes left. I want you to get back in the spirit of sacrifice. We're at 213. I don't want a song to go by without somebody stepping forward and saying, I'll either join the Secret 16 band and put $1,000 in this week, or the combination of my tithes and offerings, whatever, I'm going to be one of the 300 that gives $1,000 this week. And if there's anybody that has not responded, even if you can't give the $1,000, by increasing what you're doing until it's a sacrificial act, I want you to be part of this victory. We got just 87 to go. Now, as you know, the final yardage and territory the devil is remarshaling. We've knocked him down tonight. There's been a bigger response tonight than last night. But we're not done. There's still 19 minutes. Now get on the telephone. I want the people busy here for at least another 18 minutes now. You can keep faith in this room. Now, it would give great satisfaction to the devil for us to drag out the final 13 minutes. I'm up to 214. That leaves 86 to go. I only end on a 6. Get me on up to 80 to go, or maybe 77. No. Come on. Very simple what we're doing. Increase your giving this week until you can be one of the 300 giving 1,000 by Sunday. That's what this marathon's about. Now, get the phones so full of faith, the devil will be praying for the 56 hour to come. The only time he's ever prayed, maybe. Get on the phone. Now, after this night of victory, you're not going to let the devil have the satisfaction of the night ending with me having to say 86 to go. I don't have to use that word, 6. Now, come on, get me out of this. We still got 8 minutes. Be the next one that takes us to 215 and on up to 220. I don't want to say 86 to go. I don't want to come in here tomorrow night, 86 to go. I'll be live tomorrow night at 7. I want to be able to say a lot less than 86 to go. Get on the phone. All right, I got 215. 85 to go. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Did you hear me when I read from Hebrews? Hold fast. Confession is the King James proclamation, declaration. With the heart man believeth, with the mouth confession is made. I want these final minutes before we go to the 56th hour and play a message for an hour. I want you proclaiming your healing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want these lines full of people calling and saying, I'm proclaiming my healing. You know, let's sort of put some dents in God's eardrums tonight.
Yes, sir.
Make your declaration of faith. And two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything, it'll be done. Now, this cannot be against God's will, because I've already clearly taught it to you week in, week out. He lifted your sicknesses, carried your sins away. You are made worthy. Claim your healing. Get on the phone and proclaim it and hold fast to your proclamation. Wake up in the morning telling God about it. Go to bed telling him about it.
Yes, sir.
Now get on the phone.